This same situation resolves itself into any one or a number or, as a matter of fact, into all different particular definitions of psychological parlance. Here again, the same facts are quite obvious in our modern medicine. While the scientists or the medical practitioners are quick to take any advantage possible to superimpose their supposedly abundant and prolific medical training, they are, to some degree, the delineators of life and death over hundreds of millions of people and seem to focus themselves in some sort of a sense of false security into the various supposedly virtuous attributes which they have incurred through their training. Yet, when the physician or the therapist is pinned down to the mat, so to speak, he will be reluctantly forced to admit that he does not know the true basic and originating cause of more than 200 or 300 of the killers which are plaguing mankind. He will admit that only about 25% of the available knowledge of the human body is presently understood by the medical profession. It is quite obvious that the other 75% of available knowledge is contained in diverse concepts which would relate man into the more spiritual dimensions wherein, if the physician could look into the psychic body and see through previous lifetimes and in affiliations and experiences, psychic shocks and numerous other interpolations of life in these past lives, he would find the true originating cause of the mental or physical aberration. A sword thrust which was incurred 200 or 300 years ago in the breast of some particular person is very often found to be the seat of cancer in this present lifetime. A person can also suffer vicariously from seeing different catastrophic happenings which had taken place about him. The supposed unknown cause of any disease and the knowledge which will subsequently lead to its elimination and cure, therefore, must always be found in previous lives. With the exception of a few comparatively primitive aboriginal tribes in the backwashes of the jungles of this world, by and large, most people have lived hundreds or even thousands of lifetimes and, as they have lived these lives idiomatically in any one particular time, place or civilization, they have incurred the various indispositions of these different lives. The context of this evolutionary principle of life is contained in many different places in the literature of Unrius, as truth will always bear repeating. Truth is a many-faceted gem which needs constant turning to see the new facets, the new beauties and the new iridescence portrayed upon its surface. To the exponent of our modern-day classical psychology and medicine, may we say that almost every day the old forms of different concepts, as they were firmly believed and reoriented into life from these past dispensations, are constantly being torn down. In the past 50 years we have seen the passing of many classical expressions of literature, science, philosophy and other different dispensations of life which came out of the various civilizations of the past. Newton fell to Einstein, just as Aristotle fell to Galileo, and so the pattern goes. Each day finds new concepts, new evaluations, new truths taking the place of those which formerly meant life and death to so many millions of people. On this basis, it is quite safe to predict that, in the near future, our modern psychiatry, psychology and medicine will be just as primitive as that which we now consider primitive by looking back into the jungles and into the former witchcraft and sadoisms which have existed in the past ages. When that long-looked-for day arrives, then mankind will have found his utopia, for in this common knowledge and in its daily expression, as he relates himself in a progressive evolutionary pathway which is linked into the future and into infinity, mankind will gradually dispense with the reactionary practices with which he has decimated his world from time to time in the past ages. He will lay aside his warlike weapons, his cruel practices, his masochism, his various complexes which are founded basically in such primitive reactionary elements as would be found in the beasts which prowl the forests and the jungles of the nether regions. He will replace his hypocritical attitudes which have erected these pedestals for him, and in their place will come strong and intelligent leadership which will light the pathway for succeeding generations of mankind to follow into a more proper relationship with the infinite, just as he has done in the past. Men will replace the asylums, the prisons and the hospitals with institutions of learning wherein mankind can gain a true and more comprehensive pattern of evolution. He will learn to cancel out the various physical and mental aberrations from the spiritual side of life before they have gained sufficient strength and intensity to cause physical and mental distress or even eventual death. He will learn that it is not necessary to remove an organ from the human body when it has become defective. Instead, he will supplant this practice with a more realistic medical therapy of life which will relate to prevention and cancellation of a particular psychic shock or a vortical pattern of energy as it stems from the psychic self into the present consciousness. He will learn that such physical conditions as cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis and various other present killers are, in themselves, a direct result of the evolutionary pattern of life wherein the individual has incurred certain misalignments through psychic shocks and other indispositions, and that reorienting the person into a true spiritual pathway, a true course of life, always removes the misalignment, thus bringing about an eventual restoration of physical fitness. It must be pointed out also, so far as the planet Earth is concerned, that in the infinite universe in an astrophysical sense, the proponents of various astronomical or astrophysical sciences are just beginning to be vaguely conscious and aware of the great universe about them. With this awareness will come a new understanding, that in this interplanetary and interstellar dimensional space, as it is now called, will be found planetary systems and great worlds which far supersede our own physical world in all sense and proportion. The scientist will find man living in this infinite universe and in the many other infinite universes which are surrounding this particular one. Here again man will find himself living and expressing himself in an infinite number of ways, manners, forms and degrees of consciousness. With this knowledge will come this obvious fact: the Earth is comparatively low upon the scale of evolution so far as it concerns mankind, and on this planet, man has taken only the first step which will, in the concourse of time and many thousands of lives into the future, gradually separate him from the bestial propensities which engendered his existence into the material world. He will gradually learn that through this direct interpolation of oscillating waveforms with the higher forms of life and with the infinite propensities of the creative universe, that each individual is thus building for himself a certain dimension which is likewise infinite in nature. Thus man will, in that future time, become somewhat infinite in nature. By that time, man will have completely lost his physical form and, as a matter of fact, much of the common knowledge which he formerly used to support that physical body upon the planet Earth will instead become knowledge and wisdom to support a new kind of life, a new body, and a new way in a dimension which could not possibly be conceived in his present-day consciousness. A cardinal principle in the personal development of any individual in this evolutionary flight into infinity is contained in the precepts and in the concepts that each man is, in his own right and in his own way, his own personal interrogator, his own moderator and, in this sense, he also sometimes becomes his own judge, jury and executioner. To those who would stray from the precept of this consciousness, may they be warned that to usurp the authority of dominion over their fellow man in any one or a multiple number of forms, as it is commonly associated in Earth life dimensions, whether you are king, emperor or simply an exponent of some of the medical or psychological professions in your time and place, that this warning carries its own message, for if in some manner or form, should you be guilty of diverting another from the true course or purpose, should you usurp the authority or dominion of right which each person expresses as a direct prerogative from the infinite will and consciousness, then indeed, you have incurred grave and sometimes disastrous consequences. The false sense of security which the average individual learns to develop by focusing his attention into some of the medical or psychological practices of this day and time, could be an obvious and devious device wherein his true evolutionary pattern could at least be temporarily, if not permanently, misdirected and thwarted into one of the astral underworlds. Thus, assuming proportions and a preponderance of an absolute moderator, in the sense that the physician or the therapist is in a position to alleviate all the ills of mankind, means that the medical and psychological practice is guilty of usurping the dominion of the infinite consciousness which is a direct adjutant of all people existing in any particular dimension. He is just as directly or indirectly guilty of this false assumption of power as is the king, the emperor, or the dictator. This is also true of those who have set themselves up as demagogues in the educational profession. Great universities are now flourishing throughout the civilized world, and here the young men and women of the future are all put through holes of the same size and the same sieve, and are figuratively given a parrot speak when they receive their diplomas upon graduation, for now they must all speak the same tongue and the same language. They must all follow the same lines of demarcation, and woe be unto the person who dares to go beyond the limits or the boundaries which have been laid down so rigidly in these academic teachings. This, too, is in direct contradiction to all known precepts which contain historical accounts wherein certain individuals, in relating something basic or something good to the posterity of mankind, have always had to step out beyond the bounds of the recognized dogmas and creeds which were concurrently existing in their own dimension and time. These exponents have also suffered, either slightly or much, sometimes direct physical persecution, and even death was incurred from the teaching, directing or the pointing out of truths to the race of mankind in a fashion or manner which was not dictated by the precepts of the various existing dogmatic and demagogic forces which were then in existence. This was the fate of the humanitarian known as Jesus, and history is filled with such portrayals wherein individuals have suffered in some manner or form, even to the point of death, for daring to go beyond the reaches of the minds of their fellow men in the systems which had been and were concurrently in force and motion. During the Dark Ages in medieval Europe, in the time of the Reformation, it was estimated that more than 3 million people met their death at the rack, the wheel, and the stake, all under the guise of being purged from the face of the earth as heretics, working against the name of Jesus the Christ. The list of names which could be extracted from those who have met martyrdom in this manner and form, would be one quite illustrious in nature, and a very few indeed, such as Martin Luther and Galileo, escape the seditious practice of the Holy Roman Empire. Our present-day civilization is not entirely immune to the same practices, and while we do not burn people at the stake or tear them to pieces on the wheel or the rack, yet the demagogues of the professional world, as they express themselves either in religion, science, medicine, or psychology, find their own way to destroy these brash individuals who have gone beyond the reaches of their own minds. They will not only be excommunicated from their own organized societies and the tenets of their own understanding, but such excommunications will also extend into various social structures. This is commonly referred to as blacklisting, and this modern expression can and often has reached the point where the unfortunate exponent of a new truth has actually been railroaded into an asylum or into a prison. Yes, he may find the faces of his loved ones, his fellow citizens, those with whom he formerly associated on a most compatible basis, will now turn away from him. He will find the very privileges of this society which were formerly extended to him, are now denied. Yet as it always has been, so it must always be, that as far as the earth and such similar dimensions of life are concerned, there must be those who are way showers, those who must reach ahead into the infinite vistas and extract such suitable configurations of truth which will make life more compatible to succeeding generations developing along the dynamic principle of life expression. Yes, it can even be said that those who in former lifetimes destroyed the exponents of far-reaching newer truths, often became in later lives their strongest exponents. Many of these people were responsible for the carved and graven images which were set up to those who so perished by their hand. Guilt in itself brings its own day of reckoning, and, whether incurred in a previous lifetime and in the idiom portrayed from the nature of any particular individual, yet, in succeeding lifetimes as the individual progresses and presents a new face to infinity, and as the guilt or the wrongness of his actions eventually catches up with him, he then becomes his own judge and his own jury. Quite frequently, in the anxiety and the intensity of his guilt complex, as it is thus compounded from past infractions, he again assumes the false prerogatives which are contained in these pedestals which he has constructed for himself, and which he will continue to erect in succeeding lifetimes, until he learns the true evolutionary path of life. Sin is not a part of the infinite mind or consciousness. Each man makes his own evil by wrongly using or by wrongly interpolating various constituents of life with which he is in contact at that moment. In future evolutions, these various past derelictions from truth now become the core or nucleus for a great guilt complex. It is so conceived in the infinite mind that each man shall learn of infinity in his own way, for while in a complete and abstract sense, the infinite can be considered perfect in all its relationships and expressions, yet mankind has found various and devious ways to circumvent the true advent and purpose of this infinite intelligence into his consciousness. It can be said, by this circumvention, by the continual and repetitious treadmill-like pattern of comparisons between good and evil that man manages to make derivations and extractions which will form a substantial platform into a future evolutionary pathway. We have discussed the more fundamental concepts in the development of man's spiritual nature and in his relationship to the infinite. We have also entered into discussions which will give man a much more realistic approach to the infinite in which he will survive in these various spiritual transpositions. Also in our discussions, we have attempted to present a more equitable and basic understanding of the known and visible, or the third dimensional world wherein man lives at the present time and of his position to this third dimension or material world. All of these contexts would be quite meaningless in their entirety unless we could at least substitute a suitable and more expanded concept which would completely explain and justify all of these known precincts within the realm of our third dimensional science. In this discussion we shall thus enter into and present to the reader a much more realistic approach, not only to our third dimensional science as it is concerned in the world today, but also to enable him to integrate this science into an expanded consciousness which will involve the infinite cosmogony. Chapter 17. In the realm of physical science today, we are seeing a great change or metamorphosis which can be called the beginning of the space age, wherein man is attempting through rockets and in different ways, to shoot satellites into orbit around the Earth. He is also attempting to shoot rockets to other nearby planets, the Moon and also the Sun, with the possibility of establishing relay systems and other types of devices intended for communication purposes so that he will be able to form somewhat of a more comprehensive idea of the entire universe. This is indeed, from a more advanced position, rather a silly procedure, inasmuch as infinity is in his immediate environment. He has only to stretch forth his hand and touch infinity in all its different directions and in all its ramifications. By substituting his mind for his hand, he could thus bring into realization all of these various implications into his present-day science. In this day and age, too, it does present many strange paradoxes in the realm of physical science and starts with the most advanced of these scientists in the days of the Reformation. It was Newton who established many different physical laws and mathematical formulae which were very valuable in the succeeding hundreds of years in helping to establish a physical science upon the face of the Earth. It was Einstein who, to some degree, disproved much of the Newtonian concept, except possibly that wherein Einstein approached the concept of light, both he and Newton made the same common mistake as that made by all other scientists, including those in our time. They were trying to equate the whole infinite cosmogony on the basis of a few reactionary manifestations in their physical world. The most classical example of all of these singular paradoxes exists in the realm and concept of light. Today science is concerned with the transference of light from any given point at the predetermined rate of 186,210 miles per second. This speed of light apparently represents, at the present time, the last known barrier between man and the infinite reaches of space. We have in the past, just as today, witnessed the falling of many time-hallowed concepts in our physical science which have arisen from various scientific dispensations. For instance, the so-called sound barrier disappeared some years ago, and at the present time, our United States government is building super bombers which will travel through the stratosphere at a speed of more than twice that of sound. At the present time, the explorations into space are limited by another seemingly insurmountable barrier, which is called the thermal barrier, or in other words, trying to achieve escape velocities from the gravitational field of Earth without burning up the vehicle through friction of the various molecules of atmosphere against the skin surfaces of the airborne vehicle. In the near future, the thermal barrier will also disappear just as the sound barrier, and this will leave possibly one remaining barrier, the speed of light, to man's escape into the more proper understanding of the infinite. Science, through a common and basic understanding, has related the various transpositions of energy as they are concerned in different spectra of light, radio waves and other such emanations, into the extreme and predetermined rate of 186,210 miles per second. This too will vanish in the more distant future, simply because there is, in the world of science today, an understanding of speed, which means we have equated the appearance of one particular objective form of energy from one point to another at a predetermined rate of speed. It has not occurred to the scientist that, so far as the physical or the third dimension is concerned, all the various manifestations of energy, forms as they are concerned with the more immediate fourth, fifth and sixth dimensions, which are in close proximity to that of the Earth, and all these different appearances or manifestations which he calls the speed of light, are only transferences of energy from one dimension to another. Close to the turn of the 20th century, Max Planck was walking quite close to the line of truth in this respect in his theory of quanta, which Einstein later picked up and, through various mathematical equivalents, was able to continue on into what he called the space-time continuum. He almost factually proved that the existence of the common barrier of light of 186,210 miles per second was fictional so far as the fourth or fifth dimensions were concerned, and that in free space, light had an undetermined rate of speed and could not be calculated except when other, somewhat unknown factors were entered into, which related to any particular given amount of light in its position to the infinite space. We can gain a more comprehensive idea not only of space-time continuum but into the physical world about us when we realize this third dimension in which we are presently living can be considered parasitic in nature. That is to say, whether we are concerned with any constituents known as the 100 atomic forms of energy or any other particular known physical laws, these things are in themselves only relationships of energy as they are transformed from one dimension into our immediate perspective, which is done on the common basic equivalent of reactance or resistance. Any present-day known physical law which is taught in high school can be reduced to this simple analogy: we are merely presenting in our third dimension, so far as it is concerned in our immediate perspective, the movement of energy which becomes reactive to any one or a number of other forces which are in existence at that particular moment. The centripetal, centrifugal, inertia and various other so-called laws will thus be seen to be reactive constituents in this concept, and energy, moving as it does in a dynamic form, is constantly in conflict with numerous other different static forms of energy in this third dimension. Let us consider for a moment a more realistic approach to compounding within our own consciousness a much more suitable equivalent than that of the known light barrier, of 186,210 miles, to something which will give us a broader and more expanded consciousness of the infinite cosmogony. It has been definitely proven in countless ways that man does exist in other dimensions, or in various other states of consciousness wherein he is not connected to any physical body. These provable manifestations have been called spiritual in nature and should be quite obvious to the classical scientist who has continually, at least up until the present time, completely ignored these various interpolations of spiritual life about him, inasmuch as he always termed them pseudo simply because he could not relate them into such common denominators of his physical science. This same problem, which is extremely foolish in all respects, is being carried into interstellar or interspace activities to a high degree. The speed of light could therefore be much more easily determined if the scientist would learn to equate the speed of light or various other energy wave forms, as they appear in a reactive sense in his physical world, as merely the transference of any given quantum of energy from the infinite so-called void about him into a form of energy that he could reactively equate in his own third-dimensional hypothesis. We must remember in our equations that the Earth, just as the Sun or any other of the heavenly bodies, whether it is concerned with our own immediate planetary system or represents a galaxy or part of a universe in the far-off and seemingly distant space, represents only certain focal points of energy transferences from other dimensions into the immediate perspective of the visual eye, so far as they are concerned in reactive elements or constituents of our physical science. If the scientists would consider for one moment the fact that space is infinitely solid and filled at all times and that the Earth, like the Sun and various other planets, is merely a tiny atom, or a point of focus, wherein energy is stemming into this third dimension in numerous ways. One of these ways is through the various forms of atoms which he has found in the world about him. Another of these ways is in the transference of heat, light and numerous other reactive elements into the electromagnetic fields of force around the various atomic constituents. The Earth, the Sun and various other planets or such visual points of focus can therefore be called terminating points in a relationship which can be similarized in a positive and negative equation. In all of these transpositions of energy, as they are concerned from positive to negative in the various electromagnetic spectra or fields which surround these numerous planets, as they do in every atomic form, we are here again merely tapping the infinite energy from the cosmic universe about us. Therefore, so far as the Earth is concerned, the Sun represents a somewhat more positive polarity inasmuch as there are various spectra or transferences of energy from a great vortical pattern supporting the Sun. Thus the Sun does represent a more positive or catalyzing and polarizing field of force into the immediate electromagnetic field of the Earth. If some giant hand momentarily dropped a great shield upon the surface of the Sun and thus shut off all different energy transferences from the Sun to the Earth, we could not imagine for one moment that these energies were traveling from the Sun to the Earth in 6 minutes' time, and that the terminal of these energy velocities, as they had started from the Sun to the Earth, would continue to travel to the Earth without their EMF or the force behind them. Therefore, when the giant hand dropped its curtain down over the face of the Sun, the immediate terminating point of these velocities of energies would cease instantaneously, not in the 6 minute period which would be incurred if the scientist were correct in his hypothesis that light travels from one given point to another. Likewise, if this same curtain was jerked from the surface of the Sun, a resumption of energy transference would immediately occur between the Sun and the Earth on an instantaneous basis, and not in the matter of minutes as it is believed by the scientist, simply because the Sun would then immediately resume its normal function as a polarizing agent in the transference of energy from another dimension into our own immediate perspective or horizon of transference. Or, in more scientific parlance, this would again be established in that oscillating condition between the positive infinite cosmos and our own negative material world. We must repeat and re-establish these concepts within our minds so that in this intercosmic understanding, we can completely eliminate such concepts as the transferences of energy as they are known in the scientific world, as heat, light, sound, etc., especially so far as light and other types of radioactive phenomena are concerned. As these lie in a more immediate and closer relationship to the infinite, their speed of transference is much greater from one point to another. However, this is not to be confused with the speed of light, or the terminating velocity of unknown physical sciences, for the scientist has only equated this terminating velocity, as he terms the speed of light, to such closely allied radio frequencies which lie in the immediate spectra of light and such as are broadcast from our radio broadcasting stations. These energy wave forms, in all common sense and proportion, also vibrate or oscillate in the borderline condition of energy transferences from the third into the fourth or cosmic dimension. Light in a pure sense, means only that we have transferred the relationship of certain energy wave forms into their vibrating frequency from the retina of our eye into the tiny little transistors called brain cells which, in turn, step up these energies into suitable wave forms wherein they can oscillate into the centers of the psychic body and thus relate to us, consciousness and form as it was incurred in previous dispensations of time. The same principle is carried on into the cosmic universe about us, and we are again manifesting consciousness through different agencies known as electromagnetic fields, and the appearances of various energy waveforms are byproducts of different forms of cosmic hysteresis in our present-day physical world. In the future, the scientist will be much more concerned with the different appearances and manifestations of life in other dimensions than those with which he is so presently concerned.